And he gives us this power through Jesus Christ that we might be reconciled with him and with his purpose. So this power has a purpose. We are given this power in order that we might become. And this power might be expressed in day-to-day living like this. I have the power to live my life or to reject it. Each day I must actively decide to be the very best version of myself. To passively default is to be less than God created me to be. To deny the power God offers me is to deny life itself. The power within us is the power to become, the power to become children of God. And what does it mean to be children of God? It means to have the opportunity, the right, and the obligation to become all that God created us to be. What does it look like when one claims his power? In the first place, suddenly actions and doing are not nearly as important as being. Who I am is much more important than what I do. Yet, doing is not done away with altogether, for being finds expression in doing. But the important thing is that the being comes first. I am who I am. I am a child of God because God created me. I cannot earn it. I cannot be worthy of it. I can only claim it. It's not attitude. It's not a way of thinking. It's the essence of who I am. When I claim the power within me, when you claim the power within you, there's no need to continue playing games of power. The power struggle is over. For I am no longer powerless. I am no longer insecure in who I am. I have power through Jesus Christ, through God. The power as his child to become all that I was created to be. And therefore I'm not threatened by you. I can enable you and allow you to claim the power within you. I can affirm you as a unique and special creation of God. There's no longer the need to manipulate or dominate. When one claims the power with him in himself or herself, he's been free to affirm the power in others. This is what I think it means to claim the power within us. But perhaps it would become clearer just exactly what I think this means if we look at the revolution in which we find ourselves and in which I personally, out of my own experience, find myself right in the middle of. Have you noticed in the past few years that the phrases such as never underestimate the power of a woman, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world, and behind every great man is a woman, are not quite so familiar as they once were? How come? Because some women and some men are beginning to claim the power within them to be children of God, and the need to manipulate, the need to dominate, is no longer there. Women who have claimed the power within them as children of God can move freely through society, no longer dependent on a bone of cliché for their self-esteem. I think that's encouraging. I think it's exciting. I never liked the idea that the only way a woman could exercise power was through behind-the-scenes psychological manipulation. Manipulation of others has no place in a Christian society. But the fact of the matter is that as a few begin to claim the power within them, they hit a structure which is rooted in tradition, in religion, in culture, that says no. And I'm not only speaking of women, But I'm speaking of the freedom of men as well. For the cultural stereotypes and the cultural role models which are taught to us through our families, through schools, through TV, through newspapers, through the very essence of our daily lives, and indeed in the church itself, are binding to both men and women, because they seem to reinforce the idea that man should dominate and woman should be submissive. They do not encourage or enable or facilitate us to claim the power within us. And when a few step out and say, I want to become all that God created me to be, as I can understand it at this moment and at this place, then we shake the foundations. Women are second-class citizens in our culture. If you doubt that reality on this seminary campus, then ask yourself the question why, when a woman is speaking in chapel, chapel attendance falls by over 50%. Is it perhaps that there are those who believe that God cannot speak through this earthen vessel, woman? Why is it that when male students are seeking someone to fill their pulpit or to lead a revival in their church, that they never ask a woman? Why is it that within our denomination, for instance, where one of the places that women have been allowed to serve is the Sunday school, yet on our denominational level, there is only one woman on the Sunday school board of the Southern Baptist Convention, out of almost 70 board members? I could go on and cite other ways in which I feel there's evidence that women are indeed second-class citizens, where we indeed do not have the opportunities, we are not encouraged, we are not enabled to become all that God created us to be. But I think you are familiar with many of the arguments. And rather than dealing with a problem, I'd like to deal with a possible solution. And while at the same time I find it necessary to criticize the status quo, I also find it necessary to affirm the positive actions which this community and which our denomination have taken for being able to allow women and men to be all that they were created to be. For let me repeat, when women are not free, men are not free either. You are locked in as men into a role which says you must be dominant, you must be superior, you must be aggressive, and you are not allowed to become yourselves as God created you either. How do we get around it? One of the ways is to re-examine the purpose for which God created man and woman. Let's look again at the creation stories. According to the creation stories, who is woman? She is, first of all, a created being. She didn't just happen. She's just not just an afterthought. She was created by a purposeful creator, by God. In Genesis 1:26-31, we read, "Then God said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. The Christian doctrine of creation, specifically as it relates to our imageness, is that we as creatures are good. Not only man, but also woman. Not only male, but also female, were created in the image of God. God saw everything that he had made, male and female, and behold, it was good. It was very good. God chose, he purposed us to be sexual beings. Our sexuality is as basic to our humanness as is our imageness. God created woman in God's image, and God said God's creation was good. But what was the purpose for which we were created? In Genesis 2:18-23, we read, "Then the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make a helper fit for him. So out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all cattle and to the birds of the air and to every beast of the field. But for the man there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from the man he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, this at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. God created man to have fellowship with him, but according to this creation story, man was alone. So God created woman to have fellowship with God and with man, not to be dominated by man, not to be submissive to him, but to be in relationship with him. Neither man nor woman were created to be alone. We were not created to be separate, but equal. We were created to be together and equal, to be in relationship with each other, with the uniqueness and specialness which is ours by creation. Nor is there any implication or explication in this account of the creation that woman was brought into the world merely for man's sexual pleasure or to bear children. Instead, there is the implication that woman was brought into the world to share man's task, his purpose as created by God. If this then is indeed the purpose for which God has created us, how will we respond? When God says to his people, as he did in Isaiah, "You are precious in my sight, and honored, and I love you. Bring forth my sons from afar, and my daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made," how will we answer? Will men respond and say, "Oh God, you don't want the women. They've got to stay at home with the children. They've got so many responsibilities there. Their proper place is in the home." Will the women respond by saying, "Oh God, you don't want me. I'm not cut out for that. Let me stay in the home." He said, "Bring forth my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth to stand before God." But we fight this because we are fearful and insecure and powerless. And it frightens us to claim the responsibility to become all that God created us to be. I have experienced that myself. I have experienced being a threat to people. Being a change agent is not a pleasant task because there is pain in any change. And it is not pleasant to be the one who must begin that pain, and it is not an easy task. I would not in any way want to equate myself with Moses, but as I sought to deal with this sermon, I fought. I did not want to have to preach a sermon like this. I wanted to find an Aaron. I wanted to find anyone who could preach it instead of me. And I struggled all night like Jacob, saying, "God, give me something else to say." And the response was, "This is my word, that women are my daughters, that women are Christ's sisters, that men are my sons, that men are Christ's brothers. And together we must share the task of being human in this world. May we pray. Our God, we come before you sometimes reluctantly. It is difficult to confront each other, and it is difficult to challenge for change. But God, we have failed to claim the power within us that you have given us to become your children, your sons and your daughters. We have imprisoned others by expectations and demands, by traditions, by roles. Help us to accept the freedom which is ours, that we may reach out and free others. In the name of our elder brother, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.